Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. We'll continue reading the purport from our left off yesterday. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita, or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord, is also the incarnation of the Lord. There's no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. Om Ganachimandasya Ganam Janasakaya Chakshan Manitamina Tasmai Sri Kudave Namaha Chai Sikusa Chaitanya Prabhupada Siadwaita Gradha Sivasavi Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Think about this point, how you often wonder, if only I was with Krishna, just like Arjuna is with Krishna. And here, you read that you can have the same benefit that Arjuna had with Krishna's personal association, just by reading Bhagavad Gita and taking shelter of Krishna's instructions there. This point is something that should cause you to think. What's going on? What is Krishna consciousness really about? I can have the direct association of the Lord through his literary incarnation, through his holy name incarnation, through the Archa Avatar, the deity incarnation. What's happening? I can have the direct presence of the Lord in these ways. So why is my consciousness so dull? Our consciousness is dull because of association with matter. Since a time we cannot remember, therefore it's said, the time is said to be beginningless, because you can't trace out the beginning of the spirit soul's entanglement with matter. That association with the modes of material nature makes you dull, and therefore you cannot appreciate the presence of the Supreme Lord. Bhakti yoga is the process of daily working to increase your sensitivity to the presence of Krishna. That is the best relationship that you should be concerned with. And if you get that relationship right, then everything else works out. As we explained yesterday, when I was a young devotee, this was one of my favorite verses. Arjuna is explaining how Bhagavad Gita is for all times, all peoples, everywhere. And Bhagavad Gita should be consulted whenever you have some heart agony or whenever you're caught in a great entanglement or crisis, some great embarrassment or critical hour, as we discussed yesterday. You should know in advance what your options are. You should know in advance what resources you have to call upon before the crises come, before the critical hours come. Yes, Krishna does test you. That's all part of the love preparation. Krishna likes to test you to see how much you really care, how much attached you really are. But he always gives you more than enough information to pass the test before the test comes. So I'm letting you know these secrets, open secrets, what to do. You should know in advance what to do when you're caught in a burning heart situation, or a crisis, or a critical hour, or a great entanglement, and you want to get your way out. You should know what to do. You follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, who revived his attraction for Krishna's instructions after the departure of the Lord. And in this way, he once again was satisfied that he was always with Krishna. Another point that's very important for us is that Krishna can fit within your limited senses. Often people say, since our senses are limited, we finally understood that, but how can we ever experience the Supreme Lord who is unlimited? But because the Supreme Lord is unlimited, that means he has unlimited capabilities. Part of having unlimited capabilities is that he can fit within your limited sense perception. You cannot say no, because Krishna has unlimited, infinite capabilities. So even though you are limited, even though your senses are limited, Krishna can fit within those limitations fully, unlimitedly. In other words, the unlimited can appear within the limited, because Krishna has infinite possibilities. But it doesn't work the other way. The limited cannot approach the unlimited. But the unlimited can approach the limited. Therefore, you can have bhakti yoga. Atat Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Krayamindai Sevan Mukihi Jivada Swayameva. Instructed. You cannot approach Krishna with your mundane senses, but when the Lord is pleased by your service, he reveals himself. Even though you're limited, the Lord will adjust, so to speak, or he'll incarnate within your limited range of perception, and you'll fully have the unlimited Supreme Lord. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner. Through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Krishna can convert matter into spirit and spirit into matter. It's all his energy, his Vishnu Shakti. He can make the Vishnu Shakti act spiritually or materially. For Krishna, it's all spiritual. But you see the difference between matter and spirit because of your position of forgetfulness. The material world is for those who have forgotten Krishna. It is not for those who remember Krishna at every step. The world is different according to your position of remembering or forgetting Krishna. Just think about the great mercy you have that Krishna has left behind his literary presence You can take shelter of Krishna anytime, any place. You'll know what to do in any crisis, in any critical hour. This world's always full of crises. This world's always full of critical situations, embarrassments, as we discussed yesterday. But if you have that understanding, that Bhagavad Gita and the instructions thereof will get you through anything, then you'll have firm faith and determination. So we'd like that you all have that in advance, so that you can cross over any rough waves and whirlpools in the ocean of material existence. Understand this in advance. Know what your assets are. Know what your resources are that are available to you. Don't become dominated by your mind. As everyone knows, the mind can make up, down, and down, up, and hell, heaven, and heaven, hell. That's how powerful the mind is. I'm sure so many of you have had experience of how the mind can flip-flop and just take you here, take you there, everywhere, except where you want to be. In calmer moments, you can perceive how the mind has victimized you. But then again, it starts up its wonders without warning, and you take it so seriously. Then it subsides for a while, and you can get a clear glimpse. Oh, how did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think that? And again, the mind takes off again, taking you with it. Such a powerful vehicle the mind is. Sometimes in our Krishna conscious life, we can feel we haven't really sorted ourselves out. We have some question that's not resolved. We have some perplexity. So, Srila Prabhupada advised, then you just sit quietly in the temple room and read or chant japa. And in the stillness, the solution will come to you. Just like when you, he gave the example, when you can't find something in, that you dropped in murky water, you just sit still for a while till the water settles down and you can see clearly to the bottom, and then you reach down and pick up what you dropped in the water. When the movement of the water subsides and the water becomes still, you can see through it and find what you lost. So sometimes devotees just have to sit in reflection. Just quietly in the temple room or in some quiet place, just read and reflect, chant Hare Krishna, and then the answer will come. If we're sincerely serving Krishna, then Krishna wants to give us intelligence, what to do, how to do it. Let us please remember the great resources that Krishna has put at our disposal. We have such a luxurious inheritance. We should all feel like sons of extraordinarily wealthy parents. Because we have the inheritance of Bhagavad Dharma, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We should all feel very wealthy. Wouldn't you like to be the child of very wealthy parents? Well, this is available to you spiritually. Spiritual wealth is far greater than material wealth, and it's all yours. Can't be taxed, can't be stolen. You can throw it away by offenses, but that's something you do. Otherwise, nothing can take it away from you. The association of devotees means associating with the hearing and chanting process. By the hearing and chanting process, the bhakti lata bij, the seed of devotion, is watered and it begins to grow. While the creeper of devotion is growing, you have to be an expert gardener to discriminate between weeds and the valuable creeper of devotion. So devotees are always reflective. They're always trying to separate what is real from unreal. What is a material desire from what is a spiritual desire. So you all know how when the creeper of devotion reaches the spiritual world, it takes shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and then fruits begin to grow at the top of the creeper in the spiritual world. And then these fruits, they are made available to you in the material world. What are those fruits? The fruit of the creeper of devotion is the pure desire to serve Krishna and satisfy his senses. That is the fruit of the creeper that you can taste. When your creeper reaches Krishna's lotus feet, that fruit grows fully and luxuriantly. And then you can taste the fruit, the pure desire to serve Krishna and satisfy Krishna's senses. How is it that we don't take our wealth so seriously? Material energy is very powerful. A devotee should also know that. The power of your mind is a good indication of the power of the material energy. Everyone can feel the power of their mind. It drives you through material existence. It's a slave driver cracking the whip on you, your own mind. It surges this way and that way. You don't have power surges in England, but when I was in India, in Delhi, where was it? Somewhere. Where was I? Oh, Govardhan. Yes. Govardhan Hill in the ashram there. They have these huge power surges where the lights in the room go from off to faintly on to bright as the sun. And so I even had a surge protector on my computer, and still the power surge just fried out my surge protector completely, fried out my power transformer. Actually, it didn't disturb the computer, but just fried out my power transformer. Such extreme fluctuations of electrical energy. So our minds are like that. You can feel it sometimes. It just races on with a life of its own. You're just left as an observer. And it's so powerful that you just identify with it. Yes, my mind. Yes, it's me. And you get embarrassed. So devotees have to know how to reflect upon themselves in a calm way. That's why it's very good to be in the association of devotees, because you can use devotees as mirrors to see yourself. You can think, oh, this devotee is so calm. This devotee is so humble. This devotee is so caring. This devotee is so selfless. You can always compare yourself. Every devotee has something valuable that you can learn from. By being with devotees in a humble mood of wanting to learn how to purify yourself.
You always relish the association of devotees.
It's the best educational experience. We are part and parcel of Krishna, so
we're valuable because we're Krishnas. We should understand our value and
do the necessary for taking care of ourselves. In the association of devotees, you can take care of yourself because you see your weaknesses, you see your strengths because of the association of others. This is invaluable. Don't take it for granted. You can use the other devotees as reflective tools in your working on yourself. Because of the benefit of being around other devotees, you can see yourself more clearly. You can see the movements of your mind. Sometimes you may get a little angry because of it. You don't want to see, but every devotee sooner or later wants to see, what is my mind doing to myself? It gets a bit frustrating at times how the mind surges this way and that way. So after a while, you just get tired of it and you just want a glimpse of what's going on. Let me see how my mind is just turning everything upside down. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tejam Ivanakam Patam, Aham Vijnanam Tamaha, Nashayami Atma Bhavasto, Gana Dipena Bhasya. Out of compassion, out of mercy, I'll let you see how your mind is throwing you this way and that way. I'll let you see it. I'll turn on the shining lamp of knowledge and you'll be able to see all the mad things in your mind. That's Krishna's mercy. Let us remember this point. As devotees of Krishna, we have so many assets, so much inheritance. Simply we have to know how to take advantage of it. We were speaking with the Brahmacharis this morning about the ever-freshness of Srila Prabhupada's books. Are we reading these books just for new information? Are these books simply a collection of information, metaphysical information, or are they something else? Well, these books are the association of Krishna. If you say you want to be with Krishna, then be with Bhagavad Gita, be with Srimad Bhagavatam, be with the holy name. Just like someone wants companionship, similarly, you want the association of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not a question of the newness of information. I already read about the Timangila fishes. The fish that can swallow whales. I already read about that. There's no more excitement in it for me anymore. I already read about Mohini Murti, the Lord's woman incarnation. I already read about Puruva and Urvasi. She left Puruva and then mocked him. What are you lamenting about just because I left you? Don't let the foxes bite you. In other words, she told him, don't be so attached that you let us ruin your mind like this. So you read all that. The material novelty is not there anymore. What is there for you? Sometimes devotees make that mistake. Yeah, I read the books once or twice. Okay, got it all down. Right. Yeah, you read them once, you read them twice, you get the overview, you get, Prabhupada makes those, his points, repeats himself a lot. Yeah, okay, all right. I've got the information. I've got the info.
It's not like that.
These books are giving you association of Krishna. As we were explaining this morning, because of the level, the rare level of Srila Prabhupada's surrender to Krishna, when you read his books, the Super Soul cooperates in an unprecedented way. So you'll always feel the presence of the Lord so powerfully when you read his books. So don't think it's just a question of the newness of the information, the novelty. Remember, we were speaking this morning, but for the benefit of the ladies, we'll repeat the point. Remember when you first read, when you first started reading these books, such a sense of wonder. Amazing. It's like you entered into another world. But then after a while, the material novelty wears off. Don't be fooled in that way. Don't take these books to be like a, you know, just a compendium of information. No, they are the association of Krishna. So when you read these books, know that you're associating with Krishna. Read to associate. Not simply read for information. Well, the information is important, but more important than the information is the association. If you can learn to approach the Shastra for association, then your life is successful. Please understand this point. Approaching the Shastra for association. Not just for information. The information you'll master. After a while, it's, Prabhupada makes it so easy, repeating points and presenting concepts from different angles. But the association of Krishna, that's actually what we're after. So this verse is reminding us of the example of Arjuna. We can get that same benefit that Arjuna had with the Lord's personal presence just by our taking shelter of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. The same benefit. Think about it. In your heart, you say, oh, if only Krishna was here, then I would be so happy. My spiritual life, my Krishna consciousness would be so easy. But Krishna is here. But where are we? That is the question. Now you might say, okay, what you're saying is true, but you can't realize it so quickly. It takes a while. Even if that's so, what's wrong with taking a while to feel the presence, the association of Krishna? This is the worthy goal of your life, that you can associate with Krishna through the holy name, through the Shastra, through the deity. This is the worthwhile goal of your life. Not religious belief, religious theory, but the actual association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So please remember this point. Any questions? What makes the burning heart and mental agonies go away? Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Arjuna again wanted to remember the great teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It's for the second time. The first time was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now this is the second time Krishna has departed. So he wanted to remember the great teachings just to teach everyone else that Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times. Not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think after 32 years, I've experienced that, yes. You have to try for it. That's what I'm saying. This is one of my favorite verses when I was a new devotee. You can get that experience, and then your Krishna consciousness becomes very stable. Because you know how to associate with Krishna. But not, I'm telling you that it's not reading in a material way, so to speak. Although any way you approach Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam will benefit you. But for the most benefit, if you consciously approach Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam as Krishna, and that you're associated with Krishna, the benefit is immense and incalculable. That's what I'm stressing. Even if you all know, you've heard so many times, if you offer someone Srila Prabhupada's books and they just, nice picture, interesting cover. Yeah, it's nice, but don't have any money. They get the book back to you. Still, that, just for that appreciation, they get a human form of life in the next birth. Now, what to speak of you who take the shastra in your hand for association with Krishna? Krishna will reciprocate with you. You can approach Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam that way. All right, Krishna, here I am, and here you are. That's the best way to benefit. Then yes, you will feel your mind calm down, even if it's great turbulence. After a while, it'll calm down, and your heart will be soothed.
Yesterday you were talking about Bhakti Yoga and Karma Yoga, and we can understand it theoretically, but when you've been performing your service for some time or a range of services, and even in a short time you can become a bit conditioned just to do your service, how do you tell what's actually propelling you when you're performing Bhakti Yoga and Karma Yoga? So used to
as I said yesterday, there's nothing condemnable about karma yoga. We're not going to persecute devotees performing karma yoga. Full-blown bhakti yoga is a special thing. And anyone who performs full bhakti yoga, they're very special, and they can affect others in special ways. So, it's not a question of persecuting yourself because you're serving Krishna in a way that you like to serve Krishna. It's just that if Krishna indicates to you it's time to move to a higher platform,
and you should be willing to move, not you stick to your position. Okay, no more. I mean, what more do you want out of me? You know, I like what I'm doing. I'm attached to it, but you get the result, so isn't that enough? No, if Krishna indicates, and you'll be able to tell when Krishna is trying to nudge you a little further along on the path. But if you push Krishna away, then, no, I'm fine. The way I am now, everything is fine. Don't mess it up now. You had a good deal going with me, you know. Don't push me too far. Krishna is the supreme controller. He's the best lover. So he knows how to arrange the development of the love of his devotees. So be open to that. That's better than just worry about condemning yourself for performing karma yoga. Oh no, what am I going to do? I like my service. I must not be making any advancement. I like my service. It's like I always tell you the story, how what Krishna did to me as a young Sankirtan devotee. When I first started doing that service in 1973, oh, it was so painful. Oh, day after day, 7 days a week. It was just intolerable for me. Although simultaneously, as much as I hated it, I wanted to love it. To please my spiritual master. But it was all so difficult. It was not like it is these days. You'll have it easy these days. I told you about some of the things, haven't I? If it was a winter day outside and you needed a winter coat, you just didn't go to the store and buy a coat. You just went upstairs to the ashram and, you know, rummaged through a box of old clothes and found something and put it on, you know. And we didn't know that Prabhupada had said it's all right to wear leather shoes in cold countries, so we just put on some plastic shoes and go out and live, you know, 10 degrees, 20 degrees below zero weather, you know. Stand on the pavement all day long. Your feet were blocks of ice. And what was the prasad they would give you to take out with you on Sankirtan? What, did you think we had nice, what do you call, you know, those plastic containers, and what do you call those things? Tupperware, whatever, like that, you know. Or, no. But they did, you know, every day, you know, because the temple was using lots of milk. They would just get a milk carton and just cut it in half. It was about a 2 liter milk carton, and just cut it in half, and the bottom half, that was your lunch, prasad lunch container, and then they would just, you know, make a big batch of khichdi and breadsticks, white flour breadsticks cooked in deep fried in ghee. And an orange. And so you just put it all in the, you know, cut off, you know, milk container. You know, put it in your book bag with the books. And then off you go. There was no question of any ergonomic book bags or anything like that, you know. It was just your plain old bag that hung off your shoulder and threw your back out, as so many Sankirtan devotees found years later. You know, their backs were all thrown out. And
And then, you know, it's time for Dwell and Sankirtan in the morning. You know, just everybody, male, female, just piles into a little office, you know. Where are the books? You know, where are the bags? Where should I go? You know. Office, like from here to the end there. You got about 20 devotees in there, men and women. Oh, where are the books? Where's Perfection of Yoga? And bumping into each other. And, you know. But you're supposed to be staunch. And then, I remember, sometimes, you know, you're driving out to the Sankirtan spot, you know, an old car, you know, they put the men and the women in the car, you know. I remember I went on the, you know, the back seat of the car, you know, it's like, you know. You have men and women, you know. I remember, you know, driving out every morning, and there would be this Mataji sitting in the middle, and you know, every morning without fail, she'd just start to fall asleep on someone's shoulder, you know. You are, you know, 22-year-old Robert. Then, when they finally started, you know, traveling Sankirtan parties, and get an old van just about to break down, and then suitcases? No way. Use a suitcase as Maya. Once again, yeah, you get called a milk crate. You know, there are these, like, now I think they're made of plastic, but back then they're made of metal. When the milk comes in bottles, they put them in these metal crates. You seen those? That was your suitcase. You were allotted one milk crate. Put your things in. And the van was, you know, an old van, you know, and no question of seats in the back. They just put like a wooden platform in the back, and your milk crates went underneath with the books, and you just sat on top, you know. 8-hour, 10-hour drive, you're just sitting there on top of the wooden, you know, platform, you know. Then it was time to go to sleep at night. No question, motel. No way. Now you just, you know, put your sleeping bag on top of the wooden platform in the back of the van, and then the third person, because there's no room in the back for him, he would just put a box of books in between the two front seats. That was my spot. You know, box of books in between the two front seats in the van, and then just spread out over that. That was it. So that was traveling Sankirtan. For breakfast, you know, you just go to the supermarket, get some, you call muesli, a granola, and you know, half a liter of sour cream. I wonder why you fell asleep afterwards. We didn't know, you know. Milk products. Milk. The miracle food. Half liter of sour cream. Milk products. You know. So you take your granola and your sour cream and then no, we gotta get out there. That was it. So, such a battle for me. Hmm. only good thing was I got to read because I didn't know how to drive. And so while someone else was driving on these long trips, 8 hours, 10 hours, I would just read. I was always thinking, when will this end? But then, in the space of 30 seconds, after 2 years of such an intense uphill, that's a mild way to describe it. It's like going up vertically, not gradually, just like climbing a stone wall with your fingernails going straight up. After 2 years of that, it changed in 30 seconds. I told you that before. I was just standing in a parking lot at a shopping center. I remember I was thinking, today I'm just going to do like the big guns do. While they're loading their book bag with Krishna books from the boot of the car, if someone walks by, even their book bag's not full, they just start approaching someone. Right? You know, why wait till your book bag? Someone's right there. They're walking by you. Just, you know, say, hell, do like the big stars do. So I did it. The person took, you know, hardcover Krishna book. That was like the ultimate, you know, hardcover Bhagavad Gita's hardcover Krishna books. Substantial addition to someone's life. First person took it. Wow. Then the second person did. Then the third person did. Then the fourth person did. Then the fifth person did. So the other two devotees were with me. They were watching from across the parking lot. What's going on? What's happening? Yeah. I said, I don't know what's happening. Then I quickly filled my bag with more Krishna books and more people were taking them. More people were taking me. I remember I distributed about 15 hardcover Dutch Krishna books in the space of a couple of hours. And then number 16, after the man took the book, he just grabbed me, hugged me, and picked me up. And all of them were like, what is happening? This is someone who distributed, like, you know, 10 perfections of yoga a day, and that was it. Now he's distributing all these hardcover books, and they came up to me like, we got a new mantra, you got a new line, a new technique, what's going on? So I don't know. All I know is it's not me. After 2 years of doing nothing, I know it's not me. So it just changed in the space of 30 seconds. From 2 years of just utter austerity to just floating. When I got back to the temple that day, I distributed about 30 hardcover books there. I just quietly went in and wrote in the Sankirtan office, packed with all the men and women as usual. I just wrote on the board, blackboard, 30. Someone looked up. What? I remember my godbrother, Ramapad Maharaj Sannyasi. What happened? You? And then day after day, I just did that. It's changed in 30 seconds. Krishna is just showing, I'm in charge. Then as much as I hated it before, now I was loving it. I have my life all figured out. I'll just go on Sankirtan every day of my life. I'll go back to Godhead easily at the end. Every day I used to float out the door. Couldn't get enough. But then Krishna had another plan. I wasn't ready for it. this is it. I don't want to do anything else. I've struggled so long for this, to get this jewel. Nothing else. I won't do anything else. But then hell started to go. So, don't be so sure that you know your limits. Don't be so sure that your hates and dislikes and likes are so fixed in stone. Don't be so sure. Krishna can show you amazing things if you'll just loosen up a bit and try to please him. Don't be so sure you know for sure what you like and what you don't like. Just be open to Krishna using you as his instrument. Whether you like your service or you think you don't, be open and try your best. Anything else? We just went out to benefit the people. We just went out to help people. We weren't thinking about money. But there was so much money, and we weren't thinking about it. The mystery of bhakti. We just went out to give people the highest benefit. That's all we wanted to do. And also, we were all convinced that sooner or later, if someone actually tried, Krishna would give them the ability. We were all convinced. But I don't know anyone else who took 2 years. But we were convinced that it could be done by anyone, as long as they tried hard enough. And when Krishna wants, it would happen. And then years later, I found out from some of my godbrothers who were in one of those like instant successes on Sankirtan. You know, it just seemed to all work for them. They were sociable persons. I was very shy, believe it or not. Shy and quiet. So, yeah, but you know, these real sociable persons, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, didn't mind mixing with the people and talking like that. You know, I was always saying, I can't do that. You know, I used to think, oh, they've got it made. Then years later, my godbrother Narantra in Los Angeles, he told me this because we used to go out together. He said, you know, I was just wondering about you. How come you were always so happy? I said, me? Me? I was going through such an ordeal. No, you look so happy. You were so fixed on it. I was always thinking about you. You were distributing so many books. You were always, it looked like you were having a good time. And I said, nah. I just thought that's where you're supposed to be, you know, so you're fired up, so. But I said, but you were distributing so many books. Yeah, so what? But my Krishna consciousness wasn't that good then. He said, but you were so determined, you were so focused. I said, me? I was just struggling every day.
That was interesting.
He said, I always used to wonder how you were so dedicated. You were doing nothing. Why were you so into it? And I was such a hopeless case. All the biggest Sankirtan devotees in the USA would personally try to teach me how to distribute books. All the, they'd personally take me out for a few hours. All the big guns of the past, this is how you do it. You know, this and that. Nothing. That's probably a good example. That's probably a lot, in some ways, a lot like, you know, British Simon here, the young Simon. You know, just wanted to read all day and be quiet. And quiet except for when people would come to the temple and I got to stay back for the Sunday feast, which it wasn't often. So they told you. The Sankirtan leader would, Sunday morning would come around and he would, okay, which Sankirtan devotees are in Maya and want to come back for the Sunday feast? So, anyway, some Sundays I got to be there and I always would preach to the guests. Then I would talk a lot. So I know the power of devotional service. If you just stick to it with some determination and care, amazing things happen. So I think that yes, in answer to your question, the understanding was there then that sooner or later, if you just keep trying, Krishna is going to empower you. It's just for me, it took longer than probably anybody else. But I think my godbrothers told me that you were so determined. We just, to me, I was hating it. Although I was determined to love it as much as I hated it. Most, you know, what it was kind of like evolution according to, you know, what do you call it, the evolutionary theory or something, like, you know, survival of the fittest. I mean, yeah, everyone was urged, just do it, do it, do it, you can do it. And then those who just gave up on their own, they gave up on their own. But I didn't give up even. It was the enthusiasm of Srila Prabhupada's movement. There's no trips to India. I remember the first year everyone from the New York temple went to India. How did they do it? Everyone went except the Sankirtan devotees. All the temple devotees, all the cooks, all this and that, you know, they got to go to India in 75 and the Sankirtan devotees and stayed back. It was just, that was the way it was, you know. Because next year it changed, but in 75, that's, you know, it didn't dawn on anybody. The Sankirtan devotees are out all the time. They should be going to India to get rejuvenated. And as I told you, sometime in 1975, a new thing came in from L.A. Sankirtan devotees can take one day a week off. It's a revolution. One day a week off, we can read. I was so happy. I remember one day, that day of a week, I just read a whole Bhagavatam, a new Bhagavatam from cover to cover. I was so happy. One day a week. Then I told you about the schedule, what it could be sometimes. 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. and then go to a big arena for a concert until 2 a.m. get back to the temple at 3:30 or 4 a.m. and still go to Mangalarti. Because we don't miss Mangalarti because you got in at 3:30 or 4. You know. Go to Mangalarti and then sleep between Mangalarti and Bhagavatam class. You don't miss Bhagavatam class. And then after Bhagavatam class, breakfast. And then out the door. You chant your rounds while you're dozing off in the car. And what was breakfast every morning? Halava. And what was lunch every day? Khichdi and deep fried breadsticks. We were very determined. I remember once I met my uncle on the streets in New York City while I was doing Sankirtan. He's a wealthy man, and I was determined to give him the mercy. So I followed him for 10 blocks to the center of the city. You know, come on, you gotta take it, book, you gotta take it, you gotta take it. 10 blocks. You can go as deep as you want in Krishna service. I am trying to allow that you get that same spirit that we had, but with you can benefit from the wisdom accumulated over the years so that you're much better taken care of. But the spirit then was extraordinary. We just wanted to go out to benefit the people. We wanted to give them Krishna. We knew we had the best thing. We wanted the people to have it. That's it. Anything else? See the movements of your mind by the lamp of Krishna's knowledge and mercy. The mind is a thing of itself. It moves this way and that way, accepting, rejecting. To see that, that's Krishna's mercy. What's so difficult to understand about that? Well, most persons identify with their mind, so they can't separate themselves from their mind. But Krishna says, I'll turn on the lamp of knowledge, Gyanadeep, and you'll be able to see yourself as different from your mind. You'll be able to watch your mind as an entity in of itself, just running here and there. Anything else? Yes?
You're saying about how you're doing the service that's not very uncomfortable.
Extremely uncomfortable. No, that's not the point. You should do the service that Krishna and your spiritual master wants you to do. Comfortable or uncomfortable. That's the point. Not that we go out of the way to, you know, sleep on beds of nails and all that kind of stuff. That's the point, is to please Krishna's senses. That's the fascinating thing about the Leela of Sudama Brahmana with Krishna. We discussed that already? Oh, where was I talking about that? In Russian. I'll talk about it in the manner writing it. Sudama Vipra was attached to being a renounced Brahmana. That was his attachment. So what did Krishna do to him? He loaded him up with inconceivable opulence. Until Sudama got over the attachment. Then he went back to Godhead. He was averse to comfort, not indifferent to comfort. He was averse to it, which is an attachment. Men have any questions?
Yeah, Maharaj, sometimes you can jump the best sort of rounds or, you know, the most intense rounds, and the days are really, really difficult, you know, where we're having to, you know, surrender an awful lot more. And some days you can jump a little bit more, I suppose, in intensity than and yet the days can sort of pan out very nicely, you know. So what about your own experience on that part?
Just chant Hare Krishna for the sake of hearing Krishna's name. We're not the controllers of the day. Just chant Hare Krishna to chant Hare Krishna. Let the day go its own way. Be like a child dependent on its parent. If you all sincerely want to help people, Krishna will give you the ability, without a doubt, without a doubt. If you sincerely feel the suffering of the people, and want to do something about it, even if it makes you feel a bit of inconvenience, Krishna will definitely give you the ability and the opportunity. It's not easy in these days of the me generation for persons to just kind of get up off their own comfort and go through some inconvenience for somebody else. Very difficult. But it's necessary to advance in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is the greatest love. Yes?
I'm doing that. Does Krishna give us only what we desire? we have to desire something.
You can't hold Krishna to a formula. He's independent. He does what he likes. Generally, you can say like that, but you can't hold Krishna to any formula, rigid formula. Sometimes Krishna has a need for something to be done, and he just gives some devotee amazing abilities just to get something done that Krishna wants. It's like that. So many leaders in the beginning of Krishna consciousness movement were like that. Because of Prabhupada's pure desire, Krishna supplied devotees, and those devotees could do amazing things basically because of Prabhupada's desire. And if they thought it was because of them, then they were finished. There were so many unique characters and individuals that they would do amazing things and then sometimes just disappear. Yeah, Krishna had used them. He did amazing things like meet the Beatles and things like that. Whatever service they did, it's to their eternal credit. So sometimes it's like there's a need and Krishna just gives someone some ability. So if you're fortunate to be in that situation, then take advantage. Just don't make sure you think it's not you. Just like for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, some of us were fortunate to be in that situation where Krishna empowered devotees to do inconceivable things to the extent that we can't figure out how it happened now. So, we were the right persons in the right place at the right time. Yes, that will happen to any devotee who really wants that. You don't know when, but there are always these special bonus times. So you're very fortunate if you ever get in that kind of situation. It's not by chance. So then at the end of the inconceivable Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon, then Prabhupada just made it clear. Just anyone who's taken part in this goes back to Godhead. It's all not by chance. And even getting that benediction, if you don't hold on to the ticket in your hand, you drop the ticket. Okay. The guru can't live your life for you. You put the ticket in your hand, but if you just drop it, what can be done? It's always independence. Yes, it's so the rarest thing to have the ticket put in your hand, but you can drop it. So, Hitesh, what's the news? Is it going along nicely?
It's going nicely so far, but I greatly appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Keep chanting. All right. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Shri Krishna.